All right, we'll say good morning. So today we're up to Daf Kuf Aleph. Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Hadelas Sheva Mokza. So we'll say now the Mishnah is going to speak about a number of fascinating cases. If you have the picture books, again, this is a good day for it. We're getting towards the end. You're only going to get your money's worth for another day or so. So Delas, we don't have any, we don't have pictures of this yet. But Hadelas Sheva Mokza. So we'll say a mukta, as we've had before a number of different times, is like a backyard area that was primarily used for storage. So if a person had a door on the entranceway to this storage area, v'chadokim shebepirtza, or for that matter, a person has chadokim. Rashi points out chadokim shebepirtza, kotzim sha'asom chavilos. So this is talking about thorns that you put together in bundles. V'hiskinam listom bahem pirtza. And you put them together as a bundle is essentially you're using it as a makeshift door. As a makeshift door to go ahead and fill up a breach. Or machatzalos, or mats. Mats were usually made of reeds. Ein noalin bahen, ela imkin gavoa min aretz. You can't go ahead and close off areas with them, unless, of course, they are above the ground. Now, so what is this talking about over here? Take a look. Take a look at Rashi. Eino alimba b'shabbos. Now it says Rashi, you can't go ahead and use and literally close off an entrance there with these items on Shabbos. Rashi says b'shum da'avid binyan. Because they will say, what are you doing? By plugging up the hole, you are essentially building. O afilu kishi teluya v'nigreres in ze kavua ukishi magbia ala mashkov kevan de'ena kavua sham. Merci, Kibona. Now, I'll say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara is saying over here, what the Mishnah is saying over here, is that in order to go ahead and plug up the entrance with it, has to be Gavah Min Ha'aretz. Now, Gavah Min Ha'aretz sounds like that when they are in their open position, so Lemaisa, they would be suspended from the structure. When they're suspended from the structure, then it's clear that what? That they're part of the structure, and therefore the act of putting them in, putting it into the doorway, is not considered to be an act of binyan. Whereas if they were not suspended from the structure, if someone were to see you going ahead and placing this item in the opening, what does it look like? It looks like an act of building. Now, again, remember, the common denominator in these cases is you're using all of these items as a door, but the distinction is it doesn't look like a door. Because it doesn't look like a door, it looks like you're actually adding onto the structure of the building. Therefore, it's Asar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, or minhu. The Gemara raises a kasha. Deles hanigreres, if you have a door that drags. We'll say, now, deles hanigreres means that lemaisa, when it's in its open position, quote-unquote, it's not suspended from the building. It may be attached to the building, but ultimately it lies on the ground. Oh, umachatzeles hanigreres. Or you have a mat that's dragged on the ground, again, attached to the structure, but drags against the ground. The kankan hanigrar, or for that matter, we'll say kankan literally is a plow handle. But this must be a large, Rashi says, huklisha oksin bo meachori hamacharisha. So this is some part of the plow, but apparently large enough to be used also as a door. So kankan, so the kankan hanigrar, bizman shekshurin utuluyin no alin bahen b'shabbis. When they are tied to the structure, utuluyin, and suspended, then you could use them, you could close up the doors with them on Shabbos. The ain't sarach lomar biyomtiv, and you don't have to say any with yomtiv as well. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see in these cases, look at Rashi, bizman shekshur n'utuluyin. Alma, therefore, atuluyin hu dekapid, aval agvoim min ha'aretz lo chayish. Now we'll say, interestingly enough, the word tuluyin over here just means attached. Now, so there are two different words that are being used here. Givoin means attached and suspended. Tluyin just means attached. So the Gemara says, you see from the Braisa over here, that the Braisa requires kshurin, right? Kshurin or tluyin. That ultimately all it has to be is attached, even if ultimately it's dragging, as opposed to the Mishnah, which requires suspended. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, the difference over here is b'yesh lahen tzir. We'll say tzir is a pivot. It's a pivot in the doorway. So what does that mean if it has a pivot? Once you have a pivot in the doorway, it's clear that the item that's attached to the doorway is what? Is a door. And therefore, the act of putting it back on Shabbos l'maisa is not considered to be, it doesn't even look like bona. So Amar Abaye Beish Lehensir, Rava Amar Rava says, Bishahaya Lehensir. Rava goes farther. Rava says, it doesn't even have to be that there is a pivot there, as long as what? There was a pivot there. And I guess once there was a pivot in the doorway, I guess that's recognizable. You could see, I guess, there's something hollowed out. So once, even if the pivot's not there now, but it was there once upon a time, that's indicative of enough that this is in fact the doorway. So the Gemara goes by to Mesa. The Gemara raises a kasha. Deles hanigreres, if you have a door that drags, which means again, Rabbi Osai, it's attached to the structure, but it's not suspended. Umachatzelas hanigreres, or you have a mat that is attached but drags. V'kan kana nigrar, bizman shekshurin uteluyin ugivohin min haaretz. Afilu mali nima noalin bahen ve'im lav ein noalin bahen. I've also now the Gemara raises the kasha, because what does this price say? This price says as long as the door is attached and suspended from the ground, even just a little bit of space, then you could close off with it. But if it's not suspended and attached, then you can't close off with it. So Abaye mitare satame, v'rava mitame satare. So both Abaye and Rava answer up or explain this price according to this reasoning. Abaye mitarez l'ta'ame oshiyesh lahen tzir. So Abaye says, what's the case over here? The case over here is where there's a pivot. Oshigivon min ha'aretz. So both, according to Abaye, what the Bryce is saying is you only need either or. You don't need both. Either you need a pivot, because if it has a pivot, that shows it's a door. And both say, if it's clear that it's a door, then what? Then the door need not be suspended from the structure in order to close off with it. Or if you don't have a pivot, it's enough if what? If the door itself is suspended, because then either way, that's a clear indication that this item is a door. Rava Mataritz Tame, Rava says, according to his reasoning, Kishahaya Lahensir, Osha Givor Mina Aretz. And Rava says, it's enough if what? Either it had a pivot, or it's suspended. So both according to Abaye and Rava Lemaisa, what comes out is what? Is as long as there's some kind of clear indication that this, in fact, is a door, it will not pose a problem vis-a-vis Shabbos. The machlokas is what criteria needs to be satisfied in order to show that it's a door. Tana Rabbanan, suchi kotzim v'chavilin shehiskinan lepirtza shebechazer. We'll say if you have a bundle of thorns or a bundle of twigs that was set aside to be used to fill a breach in the wall of a chazer. Bizman shekshurin utluyin, when they are tied together and attached to the structure, noalim ben b'shabbos. Then you could close off the pirtza on Shabbos. The ein tzarach lomer p'yom tov, and of course, close that thing on Yom Tov also. Tani Rabbi Chiya, deles almana. We'll say literally, if you have a widow door, hanigreres, that again, I'll say nigreres means it's attached, but it's dragging on the ground. Ein noalim ba. You can't go ahead and close off a door with that on Shabbos. Can't close off a door with that on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Heichi dami deles almana. What's the case of a widowed doorway? Ika de amri dechad shifa. So I will say someone to suggest that a widow door is a door that's made up of one plank. So that's why it's called widow, because again it has no pair. I will say the reason, interestingly enough, why this one is treated differently is because it's one plank, it mamish looks like building material. So the act of placing that in a pirtza, in an opening, is obviously quite significant. So if it's just attached to the structure, that would not be enough. In order to go ahead and be able to attach that, it would have to be suspended from the structure. The Ikadamri, others say, the less legishma, that it's a doorway that doesn't have a beam. Okay. Amra Bihuda. So I will say, again, bottom line in all of these cases is what? Bottom line in all of these cases is that Lamaisa, fundamental machlokes, as to how you go ahead, and let me say differently, the common denominator of all these cases is what? Is that you're using a non-door as a door. And what the Mishnah is primarily concerned with is, does the act of placing these materials in an opening resemble an act of building? So machlokes Abaye and Rav, in terms of what you need in order to go ahead and ensure that it does not look like an act of building, but one thing becomes clear. Either the presence of a pivot, which Lemaisa indicates that this item was used as a door, or in the absence of a pivot, if the item does not rest fully on the ground, the ma'isa also indicative of the fact that it's clearly used as a door, and therefore would not resemble an act of dominion. Fine. I'm Rav Yehuda. Now, Rabbi said the Gemara jumps to a different kind of binyan. Rabbi said, well, let's read it. I'm Rav Yehuda. Hai midorta. If one is building a bonfire, one is building a bonfire. Rashi says midorta hesik godol. So Rabbi said, obviously, it's talking about on Yom Tov now. I'm not going to be on Shabbos. So hai midorta mimala lemata shari mimata lemala osir. So this is something very interesting. If you want to build a bonfire. So over here, what you're doing is you're building the pile of wood. You can build the pile of wood from top to bottom, but not from bottom to top. Now, how would you do that? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Milamala lemata leechos ha'etzim ha'alyonim ba'avir." What you would do is you would hold the upper wood in place. Veloseis tachtonim milamata, and you would place the wood below it. So obviously, this is not a one-man job. But if you could imagine, what you would do is you would hold the upper pieces in place. Someone else would come and put the lower pieces while you hold the upper pieces in place. And I will say, why do you need to do this? What Rabbi Hood's pointing out is quite interesting, is that if you've ever built a bond, like a pyre, so what he's referring to over here is not just like a pile of wood. This mamash is a little bit different. This is, you know, where you arrange the wood almost like in a crisscross fashion. So what ends up happening? You essentially end up building a structure. So what Rav Yehuda is saying is, if you to build this top to top, bottom to top, it actually would be a problem of bone on Yom Tov. So what can you do? You have to create it essentially in a fundamentally different way than you would build. So when you build, what's the common denominator of all building projects? Right? Bottom up. So here, the only way to build this with the shinui would be top down. I'm sorry?
Reverse engineering.
Right. Mm-hmm. So hi, you must really want this bonfire very badly. So the Gemara says, Haimadurta imala lamata, shari, mimata lamala, asar. So I'll say, v'chein biyasa, the same thing as if you want to roast eggs. Now look at Rashi over here again. Rashi says, v'chein biyasa, the sader beitzim al hagicholim. So what they used to do is when they would go ahead and they would roast eggs on top of coals, Akli Barzel, listen to this, Akli Barzel, Shekorin Griddle. Griddle, right? So it's talking about it like a griddle. O Agabi Shne Eitzim, Shemakifin Ze Eitzel Ze, Sarech Lechos Bi Beitzim Biyodo Ala Or, the Chavero Yitin Eitzim Tate. So we'll say, the common denominator of all of these things that we're going to discuss is that all of these things were done, these were acts of cooking that were done in a way that created structure-like structures. Right, so the way how would they roast eggs? They would take the griddle, they would create a whole bunch of wood under it. So what happens? You essentially have like a type of ohel, because the griddle itself serves as the roof, the wood underneath it serves as the walls. So what does the Mishnah, what does the Braisa say? If you want to roast eggs on Yom Tov, what do you need to do? You need to hold the eggs there first. Somebody then needs to bring the griddle, then someone else needs to put the wood underneath. Because to go ahead and, because again, you're doing this all b'shinui gadol. This way, again, it does not resemble binyan in any way. So the Gemara says, v'chein kidra, the same thing ultimately is with the case of the kidra. So Rabbi Rashi says, v'chein kidra, kidisna b'maseches beitza, ein makif and shtei chavios lishpos alayin es hakidura. Well, so this would be the same thing. So sometimes if they wanted to go ahead and cook a pot, what they would do is they would bring two barrels, right, support the pot in between the two barrels and place a fire in between the two barrels. Again, also looks like an ohel, looks like a structure. V'chein kidra, v'chein puria, same thing again as with a bed. So we'll say certain types of bed that they had in the times of the Mishnah, same idea. Rashi says, v'chein puria, Rashi says, mita shenosin sarem bidrachim v'shal prakimu. So this was a type of collapsible bed that nobility often used. So again, you have to, if you were to build it bottom up, it has the appearance of an ohel, of a structure. Therefore, you'd have to build it top down. Dechein chavisa, same thing with the barrels. The barrels case is the case that we said before. Rashi's kim shader chavios b'martev, shura al shura. So we'll say that sometimes when you would arrange barrels, one row on top of the other, again, the way they would arrange the barrels is not necessarily one directly on top of the other, but they would stagger it. Because they would stagger it, again, it would create a structure-like structure, and therefore, again, to do that on Yom Tov would be problematic. Therefore, the way to do it is you'd have to start top down. Okay? So we'll say, the only reason the Gemara brings this up now is because since the Mishnah was talking about things that you can't do on Shabbos because they might appear like boneh, the Gemara brings up these other cases as well. So we'll say now the Gemara tells a little bit of Agarata over here. So there's a certain Tzaduki, that Tzaduki, remember, did not believe in Torah Shabbat. So Tzaduki said to Rabbi Yosha ben Chananya, Chitka, he called him a thorn. You rabbis are thorns. I've heard that one as well. Right, you're right, you rabbis are thorns. Tichsev b'chu tovam kichadak. So interestingly enough, the Tzaduki said to, Rabbi Yosha, even the Pasuk in Micha itself says, tovam kichadak, that the best of you is like a thorn. So he say, even your own Torah, right? Even your own Torah, even your own Nevi'im, say about you, Talmid Chacham, that you like thorns. Amale, to which Rabbi Yoshua responded, Shatya, fool, Shafil l'seifa dikra. Why don't you look at the end of the Pasuk as well? Dichsiv, Yasher mimesuka. Now what does the Pasuk say? Yasher mimesuka means that you are even better. Literally it means you are more upright than a dwelling place. That the Talmud Chacham could be even benefit more beneficial than the shelter. Ve'ela mai tuvam kechadak. If the pasuk later on says that the Talmud Chacham is as beneficial as a structure is to a person, so what does it mean when it says that the best of them is like a thorn? Rather, he explained it kishim shechadokim halalu maginin ala pirza. Just like thorns have the ability to plug up a breach in a wall, kach tovim shebanu maginim aleinu. So to the best among us, protect us from punishment as well. The power of a tzaddik is that the schus of a tzaddik often protects the populace. Davar achar, another possibility. Tovim kichadak, what does it mean? The best of them are like thorns. Shemahadkin esar shoyim legehenim. That they hammer down the wicked into gehenim. Shenem, our quotes over here, the pasuk from Micha again. Kumi vidoshi bas tzion. Get arise, and doshi. Doshi means pound them, the daughter of Tzion. Ki karnech asim barzel, I'll make your horns like barzel, like steel. Upar sosayich asim nechoshech, and ultimately your claws like nechush, your claws like brass. Vehidik vahadikos amim rabim, and you will pound down great nations. So over here again, the Pasuk in Micha is indicating that ultimately, In the right time, the most of Mashiach, the Tzaddikim, will have the ability to beat down the nations of the world. Okay, says the Mishnah. Lo ya'amod adam b'rishos ha'yochid, v'yiftach b'rishos ha'rabim, b'rishos ha'rabim, v'yiftach b'rishos ha'yochid. So also now we come to a very interesting case. Literally translated, a person should not stand in rishos ha'yochid and open up a doorway in rishos ha'rabim, or in Rosh Sarabim and open up a doorway in Rosh Hashayachin. Now look at Rashi for a moment. We'll say first Rashi in the Mishnah. Lo yamod b'rishos hayachid. So a person shouldn't stand in Rosh Hashayachin and open up in Rosh Sarabim. V'yital mafteach hamunach b'rishos Sarabim. So a person shouldn't stand in Rosh Hashayachin and take a key that is sitting in Rosh Sarabim. V'yiftach lo pesach chonus. So, boss, I imagine the following case. I'm standing in Rosh Hashayachid, and what happens? This is obviously happening on Shabbos, and now I want to open up the doorway to my store, which is in Rosh Hashayachid, obviously, and the key to my store is in Rosh Hashayachid. So, what happens? Va'af api she'ein, mimakom mipesach lepesach arba amos, gzeira shema yikones hamafteach etzlo. So, Bosa, here's the concern. I'm standing in Rosh Hashayachid, and I want to open up the doorway to my store, which is in Rosh Hashayachid. The key itself is in Rosh Hashayachid as well. Now, let's say there's less than Dalet Amos from my key to the lock of my store. I still can't move that key on Shabbos. Why? Because there's a concern that what? That I will come and bring that key from the Rosh Hashayachid to where I am standing in the Rosh Hashayachid. So, Bosa, in this case, this Mishnah is not teaching us anything new. We've seen this already before. This idea that I can't manipulate certain things in another Rishos out of a concern that I'll bring them into the Rishos that I am in. So similarly, the next case, read on in Rashi, V'chein lo ya'amot adam b'Rishos harabim. So too, a person should not stand in Rishos harabim. V'yoshit yado l'mala gavoa me'asara, v'rochav arba, k'yor mafteach chanos hamunach al gago. So we'll say, listen to this. Here's a fascinating case. Remember, case number one is where I'm standing in Rosh Hashayachid, and now the key, and my store enters in Rosh Sarabim. So the Mishnah said, I can't take the key if in Rosh Sarabim and open up the doorway in Rosh Sarabim out of concern that what? That I'll come to take the key into my Rosh Hashayachid. Case number two is I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim, and what? And now let's say my store is in Rosh Sarabim, but where is the key? The key is lemala, right? The key, let's say now, is on the rooftop. Let's say on the store. So it's a short store, right? So what happens? I keep my key on the roof. So now I can't reach up to the roof and bring the key. Now, I'll say, let's assume for a moment right now that the lock is also above 10 tefachim. So both the key and the lock are both in Rosh Hayochid. So I can't take the key from the roof and open the lock. Why? Out of a concern that what? That I may come to bring the key lemata miyud. Now lemata miyud would be where? Would be Rosh Sarabim. So in both of these cases, lemaisa, I am in a different rishus than my key. So the Mishnah is saying I can't go ahead and manipulate that key out of concern that I may come to bring the key into the rishus that I am standing, thereby violating hotzah. Ela imkein, the only way to do this is ela imkein asa mechitza gavoa asara tefachim. Unless, of course, I made a mechitza 10 tefachim high. Now, so obviously, once you make a mechitza 10 tefachim high, then what am I doing? I'm enclosing myself and my key in the same rishos. Tevi Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Amru lo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Meir, Maise b'shuk shal p'tamim. But there was once a case. Mosai p'tamim are butchers, right? There was once an episode in the butcher's marketplace. Shahaya b'Yerushalayim, that was in Yerushalayim, Shayu Noalin u'manichen es hamafteach mechalon shagabe haPesach. And what would they do in the butcher? And what would they do in the marketplace? Well, say they would go ahead and close the doors of their stores, and they would place the key in where, right on top, literally on top of the window, on the window that was on top of the entranceway. I will say, what's that a case of? Now the assumption is that where they stand, they're standing in the general thoroughfare then, and where are they placing their key? In the Rosh Hashayachid. So you see, so the Chacham say to Rabbi Meir, we're pretty sure that you're wrong, because Lemaisa, we actually saw this happen all the time in the marketplaces of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yossi says, Shuk Shal Tzmarim Hayu. Rabbi Yossi, so we'll say, Rabbi Yossi is not really arguing on the substance of what's being said. He's just arguing on the Metzias. He's saying it wasn't the butcher's marketplace, but rather what was it? It was the dyer's, right? Dyer's with a Y, right? It was the wool dyer's marketplace. Okay, says the Gemara. V'rabanan, Amar Rabbi Meir Sarabim, Umahadru Inu Carmelis. Suppose like the Gemara is bothered by the following. Rabbi Meir is talking about Sarabim. Right, Rabbi Meir is talking about a case where, let's say, I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim, or my market, or my store is in Rosh Sarabim, and the case of the Rabbanon of the butcher's marketplace, Rabbosa, is a case of Carmelis. So the Gemara is saying over here, you're bringing a raya from a totally different case. So the Gemara says, the Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim, El Molei Dalto Seha Neulos Balayla, Chayoven Aleh Mishum Rosh Sarabim. Rabbi Yochanan said, we had this much earlier on in the Masechta, that Yerushalayim, were it not for the fact that its doors were closed that night, you would be chai because Rosh Sarabim. Now Rabbi said, but Lamaisa, there were doors in Yerushalayim, and therefore again it wasn't closed, which said that it was not a Rosh Sarabim, rather what was it? It was a Carmelis. So we'll see here what the Kasha is. Rabbi Meir is framing his discussion in terms of Rosh Hashayachid versus Rosh Sarabim. The Rabbanon tried to bring a raya that Rabbi Meir is wrong, but they bring a raya from a case of a Carmelis and Rosh Hashayachid, to which the Gemara says apples and oranges, to which the Gemara says Amar Papa Kan Kodem Shenifritzu Ba Pirtos Kan La'achar Shenifritzu Ba Pirtos. So the Gemara says Einachinami, Yerushalayim is considered to be a Carmelis before the wall was breached, but here when the Rabbanon brought their case in the Mishnah, that was after the walls were breached. When the walls of Yerushalayim were breached, what's the status of Yerushalayim? It's a real Rosh Sarabim. If it's a real Rosh Sarabim, then ultimately, then the raya that the Rabbanon are bringing against Rabbi Meir is in fact a good raya. Rava Amar, Rava says, Seifa Asan L'Sha'arigina. So Rava says, the Rabbanon are coming to really talk about a case of Sha'regina. Rabbi will say Sha'regina is an entranceway to a garden. Now, the assumption over here that Sha'regina, a garden, is a Carmelis. So the Gemara says, V'hachi kamar, this is what they mean to say. V'chein lo ya'amod b'rishos ha'yochid, v'yiftach b'karmelis, b'karmelis v'yiftach b'rishos ha'yochid. Similarly, a person cannot stand in rishos ha'yochid and open up an area that's in a Carmelis, or stand in a Carmelis and open up an area in rishos ha'yochid, ella, except ella imkein asa mechitza gevoa asara tfachim. Rabbi Meir. So both say, now the Gemara wants to suggest that Lanaisa, really what the Mishnah meant to say was the following. The Mishnah really talking about a case of a Carmelis as a Carmelis. And what does Rabbi Meir say? That if a person is standing in Rishus HaYochid, so a person can't open up an area in a Carmelis, or vice versa, out of concern that what? That a person will come to transport the key to the other Rishus. To the other Rishus, Ela Imkin, unless of course, Asa mechitza gavoa asara tefachim divrei Rabbi Meir. Unless, of course, what Rabbi say, a person made a mechitza that is 10 tefachim tall. That's 10 tefachim tall. And in that case, we'll say, what is a person doing? A person is thereby ensuring that the individual and the key are, in fact, in the same exact rishos. Fine. So we'll say, again, I want to be clear on something. In this version, Rava is reframing the Mishnah. In this version, Rava is saying that over here, Lemaisa, in the Seifa of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are talking about the same topic. Even though in the first case, Rabbi Meir was talking about Rishos HaYochid versus Rishos HaRadin, in the Seifa of the Mishnah, the conversation has been reframed to talk about Carmelis versus Rishos HaYochid. It's the Amru Lo, so now the Chachamim come along and say, Maisa Bishuk Shal Petamim. So the Chacham now come along and they say, aye, but one second. There was an episode in the butcher's marketplace, Shahaya b'Yerushalayim, that was in Jerusalem, Shahayu no'alin u'manichin esamavtech b'cholon shal gabei Pesach. So we'll say, what happened in the butcher's marketplace? So people would stand in the street, and what would they do? They would lock up their stores, and they would place the keys on top of the window that was on top of the entranceway. So the Chacham are saying what? You see from here what Rabbi Osai, that you remember the marketplace of the butchers was a Carmelis, and yet what did people do? People would lock the door and they would place the key on top of the window, which was what a Rosh Hashanah. So you see from here that standing in a Carmelis, you can go ahead and manipulate things in a different rishos, and yet we're not concerned that what Rabbi Osai, we're not concerned that what that you'll come to take the key and bring it into the Carmelis. Now Rabbi Osai, again, the logic of the Chachamim is that, remember, Carmelis is already a din d'rabbanan. Right? Remember, mi'ikar adin, mid'araisa, there's no rishus called the Carmelis. A Carmelis is an invented rabbinic domain. So what the Rabbanan will say is, already since you're dealing with rabbinic domains, we're not going to add on another level of rabbinic law to say that now you can't stand in a Carmelis and manipulate in a rishus hayachid, if to begin with, Carmelis is a rishus d'rabbanan. So this is the fundamental machlokes. Now, according to Rava, there's a fundamental machlokes between a man and Rabbah. So here's what comes out of Bosai. Apparently, in the first case of the Mishnah, everybody would seem to agree that if you're standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you cannot manipulate items in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa, out of concern that what? Right? There, you have a legitimate concern. The Bosai, if you're standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we don't want you taking down the key from the rooftop of your storage to Rosh Hashanah Yochid and coming to open up your lock. Because it's easy to think that what? That you'll come to transport that key into the Rishon that you're saying. That's legitimate. And that would be an act of Otsah. The Machlokas is, in the case of a Carmelis, what happens if I'm standing in a Carmelis? Can I take the key that's in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or vice versa? Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir says no. The Chachamim say, I'm going to tell you, L'maisa, it was done. And if you want to know where it was done in the butcher's marketplace in Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Pischei Sha'regina. So we'll say now, if you have entranceways to a garden, so listen to this, very interesting case. So again, remember, Argina, the garden over here, is a marketplace. Is a Carmelis. So the Gina is a Carmelis. So now let's say you have an entranceway to the Gina. Bizman Shiyesh Lohen Beis Sha'ar Mibifnim. So Rabbi Osai, interestingly enough, if the garden has a Beis Sha'ar, if the garden ultimately has like a home, Literally, it's like a guardhouse. So look at Rashi with just a moment. Beishar, bayis katan. It has a small home. Upesach hagina pasuach bo. And the garden actually opens up into this home. Ubishare hagina hasmuch on the Rishurab maskinon. Midik tani seva bechin chanio. You're supposed to listen to this. So now I have a gina. The gina itself is caramelous. But the caramelous has this base sha'ar. This guardhouse is the wrong word for it. It's a gatehouse. Gatehouse, good. Right? The base sha'ar. So now it has a gatehouse. Now, also, here's the chav. The gatehouse itself has the dimensions of a rishus hayochit. So listen to this. So when the garden has this gatehouse, poseach v'noal mibifnim. So I will say, if I'm standing in the gatehouse, I can go ahead and open the entranceway to the gina, pulling it in. Mibachutz, if the gatehouse is on the outside, poseach v'noal mibachutz. So I will say, what the Gemara is saying over here is that l'maisa, wherever the gatehouse is, that's where you could open up the lock, the entranceway of the gina. Because the idea is, what are you doing, Rabbi Osai? You are moving from the gina to you're moving from the gina to the Rosh Hashayachin. We'll see why this is permitted in just a moment. Mikan o mikan, poseach v'noah kan v'kan. If there is a gatehouse on both sides of the gina, when it says both sides of the gina, remember there are two sides to the gina. The gina itself is right next to a Rosh Hasharabim. Right? The gina itself is a karmelis. Now what the Gemara is saying is, wherever you have the gatehouse, that's, let me say, where you could open up the gina into. Ein lohen lo lekan velo lekan. However, again, if there is no gatehouse on either side of the gina, then asurin kan vikan. Then you can't open up. Either way, can't open up either way. Look at Rashi Rabosai. Bei poseach v'nal mibifnim, the base shar rishus hayachid. The gatehouse is rishus hayachid. V'chein keshuhu michutz. Lo lekan, velo lekan, asurin mikan vikan. Good. All right. So,
that's my Shabbos alarm.
Okay. So, no problem. So, lo lekan, velo lekan. So, what happens if it, This is a test, the emergency broadcast system. Okay, so now... Okay, his pulse is going up with Erevin. All right, good. So now, what happens? So look at Rashi. Lo the kan, below the kan, asur mikan the kan. The haminol, rubosh sechon. I'll say here. Now, Rashi brings us something very interesting. Now, to appreciate this case, you have to see the following. Look at, we see that Rashi, lo the kan, below the kan, asur mikan the kan. Now, Bossy, here's what's interesting. The lock itself has the dimensions of a Rosh Hashayachid. The Arfa Pisha Mafteach Munach Alav, even though the key rests on top of it, Gazer Rabbi Meir Shlo Yamo Birshus Harabim, Velo Begino, Vyito Mafteach Rosh Hashayachid, Shema Yivi Enu Etzlo the Rosh Hashayachid Oberkamas. Now, Bossy, if you have a picture book, you could see this for just a moment. This is actually quite interesting. These locks, it's either picture 358, or you could even see it in an aerial view in 357. These locks themselves were not like a lock that you think about, like a little thing that's embedded in a door. These were like boxes that protruded out of the door. As such, says Rashi, the lock itself has the dimensions of a Rosh Hashayachid. So now, Rabbi, we can begin to understand what's happening over here. So watch this. Look how complicated this is. You're better off just not going in the garden over Shabbos. But listen to this. So now you have the gina. The gina itself is a karmelis. The gina itself is right next to what? It's right next to Rosh Hashanah. Now, the gina has a lock to get into it. The lock itself has a status of what? Of Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara like this. Now, what do you have? So the Gemara says, now I want to be able to open the lock. What's the problem? Here's the problem. If I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah, can I open the lock? No. Why? Because it's Rabim Tiyachid. If I'm standing in the Carmelis, can I go ahead? If I'm standing in the Gina, I gave it away. If I'm standing in the Gina, can I open the lock? No. Why? Because it's Carmelis Tiyachid. So Gemara says, how can you open the lock? You can open the lock if you have one of these gatehouses. if you have a gatehouse that is right next to the lock, then you can open the lock. Why? Because what is the gatehouse? Good. David, you're good.
Baruch Hashem. What about the keys just
left? So, okay, we're going to get to that. We get to that. So now, say, so now again, what the Gemara is saying is like this. The only way really to get into the Gina is if you have a gatehouse. Because if you have a gatehouse, then Lemaisa, it's Yochid to Yochid, and that would be permitted. So the Gemara says, therefore, lo lekan velo lekan, back to the Gemara, if you don't have the gatehouse on either side, then asurin kan vekan. V'chein chanuyos ha-pesuchos l'shurabim. And the same applies with stores that open up into the public domain. Bizman shahamino lemata me'asara. If, suppose I listen to this, if the lock is within 10 tefachim of the ground, then maybe mafteach. So then Rabosai, remember, now here's the chap. If the lock is within 10 tefachim of the ground, then Rabosai, then lemaisa, the lock itself has the status of a carmelis. Then Rabosai, remember, there's no problem from going carmelis to Rosh Sarabim. There's no problem like that. So if the lock is within 10 tefachim of the ground, remember, the lock itself can't be a Rosh Sarabim because it's not easily traversable, but it's like a carmelis. So if the lock is within 10 tefachim of the ground, then maybe maftiach me'erev Shabbos. Then what do you do, Rabosai? You bring the key on Erev Shabbos, umanicho be'isikufa, and you leave it on the isikufa. Then also, we had the isikufa last week. What's the isikufa? The isikufa itself is a carmelis as well. So now, if you bring the key, you leave the key on the carmelis, and then lemachar poseach the noel umachzir le'isikufa. Then Rabosai, what do? The next day, you can go ahead and use the key to open up the lock, and then you can put the key back on the isikufa. Because what have you effectively done? You've gone from carmelis to carmelis, and that's permitted. But if the lock is taller than 10 tefachim, then Rabbi will say, what is that? That, remember, if the lock is taller than 10 tefachim, then what do you have? You have Rosh HaYochid. Because it's a dalet al dalet and it's lamala miyud. Then, maybe maftach me'erev Shabbos. Then, Lamaisa, the only thing you could really do in that case is bring the key on Erev Shabbos, umanicho b'minol, and leave it in the lock. Lemachar, the next day, poseach the noel, you can go ahead and open it up and then close it afterwards. Umani umachziro limkomo. And then you could put the key back in place. And we'll say, we'll discuss why that is. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The chachamim say, af bizman shahamino lemala me'asara tefachim, even if the lock is taller than 10 tefachim, mevi mafteach me'erev Shabbos, you bring the key before Shabbos, umanicho be'isikufa, and you go and you leave it on the threshold, which is the carmelis, lemachar poseach v'noel, the next day you could go ahead and open the door and close it afterwards, umachziro limkomo, and you could put the key back in its place, o b'cholon shal gabi ha-pesach, or you could even put it back on the window that's on top of the doorway. However, im yesh b'cholon arbal arba osr, but Rabbi say, the ma'aseh, if the cholon itself has arbal arba, then what? Then the ma'aseh is going to be a rishus ha-yochid, and then Asr mipneishim kmotzi mirishus lirishus. Then Abba said it'll be asr because it's as if you're carrying it from one rishus to another. Now says the Gemara, midika amar dechin chanuyos. Abba said, listen to this. The fact that the Brisa says that you can't do this. I'm sorry that this is true even with storefronts. Mechlal debeisikufas karmelis askinon. Then it must be talking about a case of the threshold the isikufa that's a karmelis. Then, hay min ol hechi dami. Then, what is the case of locks? So, Rabbosai, again, if we're talking about chanuyos, then the chanuyos again must be talked. Then, if there's an isikufa in front of the chanos, the isikufa itself must be a carmelis. If the isikufa is a carmelis, then what is the status of the locks? E de les be arba. If it doesn't have an area for tefachim, then makom pturhu. Then, Rabbosai must say it's a makom ptur. The ispe arba, and if it does have arba, baha lima rabbanon. And would the rabbanon say in this case, af bizman shamino lamalum yud, mevi mafteach me'erev Shabbos, umanicha be'isikufa. Then when the rabbis say that you could go ahead and bring the key from Erev Shabbos, leave it on the isikufa, lemachar poseach v'noel bo. The next day on Shabbos, you go and you open the door, umachzir le'isikufa, you could put it back in the isikufa, o lecholon sha'al gabe ha-pesach, or on the window that's on top of the doorway, v'ha kametaltel mikarmelis rosh sayachid. But I will say, allowing you to do that would effectively be what? Be transferring the key from the karmelis to rosh sayachid. The rabbis actually allow you to do that. Amr Abaye said, the olam de'in bo arba. Oh, what's the case, Rabosai? The lock itself does not have a space, an area for tefachim. However, the yesh bo lochok lahashlimo ledalet. But Rabosai, what does it have? It has, here's what's interesting, what as I said before, remember, these locks themselves were boxes that extended outside of the doorway and went into the door as well. So, once I listen to this. So, the area that extends outside of the doorway does not have Dalet Tefachim, but there's still additional area that extends into the doorway, and that additional area that extends into the doorway would complete it to a shear of Dalet. And what's the machlokes? But how plinky? And this is what they argue with. Rabbi Meir Sover, Rabbi Meir holds Chokikin Lahashlim. Rabbi Meir holds Rabbi Osai that we could literally hollow out in order to complete the area of Dalit, which means what Rabbi Osai? That Lemaisa, meaning we don't actually hollow out, but Rabbi Meir holds that we view it as being hollowed out. Because you view it being as hollowed out, then therefore what? Then the lock itself is Rishus HaYachid, and therefore what? Rabbi Meir would not allow you to go and open up the lock on Shabbos. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because Lamaisa then would be going from a Carmelis to a Rosh Hashayachid. For the Rabbanan say, Ein Chokikin Lahashlim. The Rabbanan say, no, we do not imaginarily hollow out to complete the area of the Roshos. Therefore, according to the Rabbanan, you're essentially going from what? From a Carmelis to a Makom Ptur, which would be permitted. Amar Abibu Barabai Shmami Nami Hamas Nisetlos. Shambir Barabai says, we learn three things from here. So we'll say, number one, what we learn is that we do imaginarily hollow out areas to complete shum. Now, I will say the reason the Gemara is saying that is because since it sounds like we pass like Rabbi Meir from the Mishnah, so Lamaisa we see that we do go ahead and hollow out, halachically hollow out an area in order to complete the shum. I will say, just Lamaisa, we actually don't pass in that way. What the Gemara is saying is, from this it appears that we're passing that way. That if we would hollow out an area in order to create the requisite shear to create the dimensions of a Rosh Hashayachid. That's number one. Shma mina hadra bei Rabbi Meir misharegina. Number two, see from here that Rabbi Meir retracted his position from the gateways of the garden. What does that mean? That Rabbi Meir retracted his ruling, forbidding one to stand in a Carmelis and to move objects in a Rosh Hashayachid. So Rabbi Meir took this back. So even though Rabbi Meir holds, we'll say again, I want to be clear, Rabbi Meir still holds that if you're standing in Rosh HaRabim, you can't manipulate items in Rosh HaYachid and vice versa. Rabbi Meir, however, again, seems to agree with the Chachamim that this prohibition does not apply from what? From Carmelis to Rosh HaYachid. Rabbi, so remember, this just to keep track, there's a lot to remember today, but if you remember again, Rabbi was the one who reframed the Machlokes in the Seifa. According to Rava, everyone is going to agree that if you are standing in Rosh HaRabim, you cannot manipulate items in Rosh HaYachid and vice versa. Let's take that as an agreed upon statement. The fundamental machlokes was in what case? The Seifa of the Mishnah. What was the Seifa of the Mishnah, Bosai? Can you manipulate items from Rosh HaYachid to a Carmelis and vice versa? Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah said no. The Chacham said yes. Where did the Chacham get yes from? Remember, where did the Chacham get yes from? Because the Chacham said this is what was being done in the butcher's marketplace all of the time, which was the Carmelis. Now the Gemara is saying is, Rabbi Meir, at the end of the day, retracted his original position, and this is good news. Rabbi Meir agrees with the Chachamim that what? That you can manipulate items from Rosh HaYachid to Carmelis and vice versa. Is there a discussion about Rosh HaRabim to Carmelis? No. Because remember why? Everyone agrees that you can do from Rosh HaRabim to Carmelis. Why, Rabosai? Why? Because they are similar Rishuyos. They're essentially both Rishuyos HaRabim. So Rabosai, again, this is very important. So again, I want you to walk away with this, at least this one piece of Halacha Lemaisa. So everyone agrees, again, remember, let's go there what everyone agrees with. From Rosh HaYochid to Rosh HaRabim, can you manipulate items? No, and vice versa. We started out with a Machlokes of Carmelis to Rosh HaYochid. Rabbi Meir said no, Chacham say yes, and now what? Now everyone agrees? Yes. Okay, and the third thing we emerge from, Shamis Mina Midrabanan Isa L'Ravdimi, that the rabbis adopt the position of Ravdimi. What did Ravdimi say? Dechi Asa Ravdimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Makom she'ein bo arba al arba, if you have a place, an area that does not have a shear, a four tefachim by four tefachim, mutar lipnei rushus harabim ulipnei rushus hayochel lekas seif alov, ubilbat shelo yachlifu. What's that third piece of halacha? The Mishnah says we adopt the concept of a makom p'tur. What's a makom p'tur? A makom p'tur is an area that does not quite have the dimensions of a rushus hayochel or rushus harabim. So what's the classic case of this? The classic case is of a pillar that is 10 tefachim high, but is not 4 tefachim wide. So in that case, almost I remember what could happen with it. Both the people of Rosh Hashanah as well as the people of Rosh Hashanah could go ahead and use it, as long as what? As long as, lo yachlifenu, as long as, almost like what we saw this before, they do not use the makom p'tur area to transfer items between one rishus and another. So the three bottom lines that we emerges from this sugi is number one, chokikin lahashlim, that at least according to Rabbi Meir, we do go ahead and halachically hollow out areas in order to create the requisite shear to create the dimensions of a particular rishus. Number two, everyone agrees that you cannot manipulate items from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or excuse me, to say differently. Everyone agrees that if you're standing in Rosh Hashanah, you can't manipulate items in Rosh Hashanah and vice versa. And everyone agrees that if you're standing in a Carmelis, you may manipulate items in Rosh Hashanah and vice versa. And number three, we paskin like Rav Dimi Rabosai, that although both people in Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah could use a makom p'tur, neither can use the makom p'tur to transfer items between one Rosh Hashanah and another. All right, let's stop over here.
Rabbi, do you want to suck on tomorrow?